So, welcome back. It's January, it's 2020, 2020. That started off with a bombing from the Iranians and the start of World War III.
Too many names.
Now, I don't know if you saw the news today, but obviously the bombings occurred today. Now, of course, we're waiting to see what the United States chooses to do in retaliation for these bombings. But what's interesting is that we don't have to panic or worry, because God actually has the plan for this world. And so whatever man thinks that they're trying to do, or whatever governments try to do, God knows exactly how this all ends. And we know how it ends because it's written in this book. And if we believe God's word, then we can look into God's word and see exactly how this world is going to come to an end. And it may or may not be with a bomb, but it's definitely going to be with Jesus Christ coming back and him establishing his rule forever. And so we don't have to panic, and we don't have to follow the Twitter sphere. It'll disappear in a few days and something else will take the headlines. But we should be praying for our leaders and praying for the things that go on both here in Surrey and British Columbia, Canada, and across the world. So be aware, the Australian fire is going on. Those are people just like you and I that need our prayers and obviously need rain. They got some today. So it's not just locally. When we see these news things or these things pop up, let's remember right away, hey, these are people that need Jesus. They need to know about God, and they need God to step in and perform miracles. And it doesn't matter whether it's here in Australia or in Iran or Iraq, God is working. We know this, and some of you aren't aware of the underground church and the way that God is moving throughout the world. So this year in 2020, I did give them an option, the leaders, but we decided, what are we going to focus on for 2020? We've kind of done the Alpha, so we introduced people to Jesus. We talked a bit about the basics of our faith, and we looked a little bit before Christmas at being two-faced and what that looks like. And it was interesting, I was driving one of my students home today, and I said to her, hey, when did you decide to follow Jesus? And she goes, you don't know? And I said, no, that's why I'm asking. And she goes, well, it was at the Christmas party. Remember, you talked about Jesus, and you said if anybody wants to come to know Jesus, that would be the time. And so I said the prayer, and I said, well, why didn't you tell me? She goes, you didn't ask. So this goes for all of you. If at some point you respond and decide, hey, I'd like to follow Jesus, and I'm going to pray that prayer, and I'm going to commit my life to the Lord, be really good if you told somebody, whether it's your small group leader or me, just so we know, because that changes the focus of our prayers, and it changes how we can help you. For instance, I said to her, do you have a Bible? She goes, no. I said, well, we should get you a Bible. Well, wouldn't you give me a Bible even if I didn't know Jesus? I said, well, yes, we would have given you a Bible either way. But again, you didn't ask for a Bible. So speak up if you're sitting in the room and there's things, or you have questions or things that you're responding to. So this year, we're going to focus a little bit on the word authenticity. There's a lot of fake people in the world. There's a lot of us, as we've learned from Two-Face, that we kind of hide things from each other and hide things from what we think we're hiding from God. But what we want to do is look at how do we become an authentic follower of Jesus? What is that going to take? Now, there are five courses that we want you to finish before you graduate grade 12. But unfortunately, some of you are already in grade 11 or grade 10. And it's like, how am I going to do five things? Well, we're going to start with the first one. It's for 4 weeks. And we'll at least get one under our belts. And those of you that are in grade 8, by the time you finish grade 12, you'll have done all five. Because every January for the next 5 years, we're going to do one more of these courses. And this first one that we're going to look at, turn your remote on, is developing a dynamic, deepening love relationship with God. So it starts with a relationship with God. And some of you are big into relationships right now in your lives. That's an important part of who you are as you're growing up. Relationships are very important to us. But the most important relationship is one that we want to develop with God. And for some of you on your cards, when you turned in cards before Christmas, it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if God answers my prayer. I don't know if God really loves me. I'm not sure if he's even out there sometimes. I doubt whether or not I have a relationship with God. So we're going to look at how do we develop this, and how is it that we can deepen it to the point where nothing will stir us and nothing will rock us. So it could be the death of a loved one, it could be some crazy thing that happens at school, it could be we end up with cancer and we're only 20 years old or 16 years old. How can we deal with those situations and not lose the deepening love relationship we have with God? Because when crisis happens, that's when we find out whether our faith really means anything to us or not. When we're sitting at home alone at night, that's when our faith is real or not real. It's not when we're sitting here because we're listening, that's nice. But it's when we go home that we have to figure it out. And so lesson number one is God created you for a unique, deepening love relationship with him. Wow, that's why God created you. Because he wanted to be in relationship with you. Now we all know, if we've followed the Bible and we've been around church for a while, Adam and Eve kind of screwed that up, didn't they? Because when they sinned or they took something that they weren't supposed to, they hid from God because they were embarrassed and ashamed. And God said, no, what are you doing? I love you. I created you to be in a relationship and now you're hiding from me. And since that time, we've all tried to hide from God. And we've not recognized that God has a love relationship with us, whether we're hiding from him or not. Now, every week we're going to make you memorize a verse. Ugh, it's like school. No, it's just one verse. But each of the verses is going to be helping you deepen your walk with God. Now, how many went to Awana? Okay, you had to memorize a lot of verses. How many of you went to Sunday school? Had to memorize verses, right, Miguel? You leave Sunday school, though. Okay, if you were in Joel, when I was doing Joel, we had a memory verse every week. We're going to go back to that right now. So this is our first memory verse, Romans 12, 1-2. Now, don't panic if you have, I can't remember. Just do your best. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It starts with recognizing that we have to give up what the world is offering us. And we have to turn to a worship relationship with God. I am just so convinced that people today would have much better lives if they surrendered everything to God. You say, well, I do. I come on Tuesday night. That's not surrender. That's usually my friends coming, so I come. Or, well, I've given up a little bit of my time. That's not surrendering. Surrendering is saying every aspect of my life, what I watch, what I listen to, what I talk about, what I interact with other people about, the relationships I get in, all of that is going to come under God's control. That's hard. That's really hard. Because God doesn't have necessarily the same things in store for us that we want to be in store for us. It's not about a career. It's about what God wants you to do with your life. Yeah, but I want to be a doctor. I want to make money. But, that's not what God wants. Maybe he wants you to be a doctor, but he wants you to fly to countries and places where they don't have doctors. Well, I don't want to do that. Okay, are you going to surrender to God? Are you going to give him every aspect of your life? So, what would be some advice? Talk to the person beside you. If someone asked you to outline the top three things for building a relationship, a strong relationship with somebody, what would they be? Now, it could be a strong friendship. It doesn't have to be like a love relationship. But many of the qualities will be exactly the same thing. What are the top three things that you think need to be present if you're going to build a relationship? Go, you got 1 minute.
I'm working on 30 seconds.
10 seconds. So, throw some out at me. What's one thing?
Trust.
Ah, they beat you to it. They heard you say that one.
No, but we heard that, so we said.
Oh, you said that you heard them. Trust. So, trust is an important part of a relationship. What else? Daniel?
Honesty.
So being honest with the person you're trying to build a relationship with. Sarah?
Understanding.
So understanding, like being able to hear and feel and understand what they're going through and what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah.
Loyalty.
So being committed and staying committed. Joy.
Patient.
Being patient with somebody. So they're going to make mistakes. We stick with them. Shayna.
Communication.
Oh, communication. Being able to talk with them. Last one.
Respect.
Okay? Being able to respect somebody. So these are all things we think are important in a relationship with somebody else. Well, yes, exactly. They're also very important in our relationship with God. So the same things we would use to develop a relationship with someone are the same things we need to do to develop a relationship with God. So, next question, very quickly in 1 minute, what do you think are the top three ways that you can stay connected with God? Stay in relationship with God. Top three.
Okay.
30 seconds. Top three. All right, time's up. Give me the top one that you think is the most important one. What do you think is the most important? Daniel.
Reading the Bible.
So you think reading the Bible is the most important thing that you can do to stay connected with God. Okay, what's yours?
Communication.
So prayer?
Prayer.
Talking to God, listening to God? That keeps us connected, okay? Anybody got another top one? What do you mean by devotion?
Going to church.
I don't want to explain it.
Like doing a devotion, like reading and studying the Bible, or you do mean loving on Him, being devoted to Him?
Like both.
Like both. Okay, those are two different things, so good. We'll count them both. Joy?
Gratitude.
Oh, so saying thank you to God?
Yep.
That keeps you connected?
No, same thing. I don't know. Thank you for what He did for you or what He's doing for you or what He's going to do for you in the future.
Okay, so having a thankful heart. Nobody's got the top one yet, though. Still looking for the top one, yeah.
Worship?
Yeah. Number one way to stay connected to God is to worship God. Now, that doesn't mean sing to Him. It means to worship Him. And worship gets construed because when we say, hey, we're going to worship, we always expect Miguel to come up or Brianna to come up and start playing music and we're going to sing. And that is one aspect of worship. But worship goes well beyond that. It goes into communication. Worship goes into trust and respect, adoration, learning, discipling, finding out as much as we can about God. So, here are the top four, not in any particular order. Number one, we connect with God through the Bible. So, my question is, well, have you read it?
Yes.
Or parts of it? And more importantly, who is your favorite Bible character and why? Think about it. Who's your favorite Bible character and why? All right, somebody tell me. Who's going to tell me? Who's your favorite Bible character? Yes?
Daniel.
Good old Daniel.
Not because of Daniel.
Oh, not because of Daniel, but because Daniel's a good guy in the Bible. Anybody else who's got another favorite character?
Noah.
Who? Noah? And the flood, that guy?
Noah's not.
It's interesting that a lot of people believe we're back in Noah's time where God's asking us to do things that the world laughs at. In his case, he had to build a boat. In our case, there's other things God's asking us to do right now, which most people laugh at and go, why would you do that? Why would you as a Christian do that? Well, because God's called me to that. And just like Noah, who faced a lot of ridicule for building a boat, Christians today are facing a lot of ridicule for the positions they're taking. Daniel?
I was talking about this yesterday in socials, Moses.
Mm-hmm. Moses? Mm-hmm. Moses was a pretty stalwart kind of guy, and he did some really cool things too, like, you know, turning water and the water red, blood red, causing the boils. And, okay, God probably did that, but he used Moses with his staff to do a lot of those things. Favorite verse and why? People love to throw out John 3:16, but is it really your favorite?
No.
Or is it just one that was easy to memorize because everybody did? Your favorite verse. Okay? Now, I'm not throwing these up here to kind of like shame you or anything. What I'm saying is, if you've read the Bible and you understand God's Word and you've studied it, then you will have favorite stories. You'll have favorite verses because you've read those verses. You've underlined those verses. You've thought of those verses. How much of the Bible have you read? 50%? 25%? A few chapters? Only the parts that we tell you to read? Now, there's some parts of this book. Okay, it's long, it's painful, and I don't suggest you just sit there and read through all of that, because there are parts of the Bible that will be more interesting for you. Eventually, though, you'll want to go cover to cover, because it completely makes sense if you read it cover to cover. But if you just pull bits and pieces out, you're not getting the full aspect. And that's where we get into trouble, because we pull one little thing out and we say, oh, this is what God says, but we don't put it in context of the whole book. So studying God's Bible is one way to connect. Another one is through prayer, speaking and listening to Him. The Bible says be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. So He's like, hey, talk to me all the time. Now, I've got some really corny ways you can do this. When I ask you what your prayer life is like, how much time do you spend? And I've been really pushing people to get their own prayer closets and to set up their own little war rooms where you have a room or a spot that you go to that becomes your sacred place where you meet God. And for me, it's underneath my stairs in my closet. For other people, it could just be in your bedroom in a corner. But it's a place where you will sit and talk to God on a regular basis. Do you ever ask God questions? And just wait and see what the answers are going to be. Does God ever answer your prayers, or do you feel like you're always just talking to noise or to nothing? So here's the corny things. Here we go. Oh, so number one, give an alarm clock hallelujah. So every morning when your alarm clock goes off and it wakes you up, you go, "Whoo! Praise the Lord! I've got another day." And you say, "That is so stupid." Totally will change your mindset for the day. If when that alarm clock goes up, you look to praise God and to celebrate the day rather than, "Oh, I gotta get up." Right? I've said that before. Okay? And it's not easy to do. This morning, I must admit, I hit that snooze button and I thought, I will celebrate when the snooze is finished. Three times. But eventually, I did that. Number two, pray with the snooze button. So I've done this some mornings. I don't really want to get up, but when I hit that snooze button and I know I've got 10 minutes, I use that time to pray. Who's playing with my app to change the lighting? Did the lights just change?
It's the plug thing.
Oh, you wiggled the plug? Oh, we wiggled the plug. Okay. So anyway, back to what I was saying. So pray for 10 minutes to the snooze button. You know, you can get a lot of prayer in 10 minutes. You'd be surprised. And you're not really technically falling back to sleep. As much as you'd like to think, when I hit the snooze button, I'm sleeping again. You're not really. You're laying there and your subconscious is going, because deep sleep cannot happen that quickly. So instead of wasting that time, use it to pray. Number three, practice holy curiosity. What the heck is that? That's when you see something and instead of going, you go, "Whoa, God, how did you make that?" Or, "Wow, God, that is one good-looking person. How did you do that?" Just kidding. But being curious about everything. We lose curiosity the older we get. Teachers know this. The people that do research know this. We're so curious when we're little. Everything is new. Everything is wild and crazy. But as we get older, the newness wears off. And so we stop seeing the curious in it. We stop asking questions like, why did Jonah build a boat? Now, yes, God told him to.
Jonah.
Oh, sorry. Build a boat. Now, the story doesn't tell you all the detail. The story talks a little bit about it, but at some point you got to be curious, like, okay, seriously, when he was like three stories up, hammering a board on, and the people were down there like laughing at him, did he ever not just want to turn around and whip a hammer down at them? Like, I'm curious. I want to know, because I would have lost patience eventually, right? So how is it he didn't lose patience? Or how is it that when the animals were coming two by two and God was leading them there, he wasn't sitting there going, oh my goodness gracious, that's two giraffes, but there's two more coming. We can only take two. Okay, quick, get a gun. Shoot those two. Like, what did he do? I don't know. I'm curious. I wanna ask questions, not just go, that's a great story. Think about what it would be like for you to be in that situation. Like I talked about with Mary. What would it have been like to be Mary and all of a sudden pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Like, not even by a human. And you have to go around telling me, hey, I'm pregnant. The Holy Spirit. Yeah, what town's he from? And that's the problem, is that we don't think curiously about the stories we read or about the things we see. Pick a prayer partner. How many of you have a prayer partner? One. Two. Three. Four. Okay? So, pick one friend that you know prays and you pray, and either once a day, you text and you say, please pray for this. I'm praying for you right now. Once a week on the phone or in person, hey, let's get together and pray. If you go to the same school, one lunch hour a week, meet somewhere to go and pray together. Say, why would I want to do that? Because that's how we get closer to God. That's how we draw nearer to Him. We find help from somebody else to hold us accountable to pray. Prayer partners, practice nighttime taps. So when you lay down at night to go to bed, the last thing you think about is Thanksgiving, adoration, say something good about God, thank Him for something in the day, give Him a petition, something that you hope for the next day, and then your sorrow, something that saddened you today, and then go to sleep. Prayer is a great way to calm yourself down at night and prepare for sleep, because you're turning everything over to God. I have a very symbolic thing I do at school. We have a dumpster right by where my car is parked. And I have to deal with a lot of crap all day. A lot of people, a lot of relationships, a lot of mess, a lot of... right? So symbolically, as I walk to my car, I toss everything in the dumpster. I figured, God, I don't want it. I don't want to take it home with me. I don't want to take it to youth tonight. I want to be able to just be engaged with what I'm doing tonight. I don't want to be thinking about what was going on at school. And then every morning when I park the car and I go, oh, really? And I symbolically take it back out of the dumpster because I got to deal with it on that particular day. Some of you who have jobs, you got to just say, I got to leave that at work. I'm leaving that with God. I don't want to bring it home. Those of you at school, you get bullied or things happen at school. You got all these tests and exams and you're like, okay, God, I got to leave that. I got to pick it up later. I can't let it go in my mind and go crazy. I need to rest. I need to sleep. So those are some cool little prayer ideas. We connect through Sabbath. Quiet. Yeah, I don't have any quiet in my life. Yeah, that's a problem. Okay, you'll never hear from God until you're quiet. So you need to find times where you just don't do anything. And you just read or you go for a walk and you're just quiet with God. He's pretty clear in it. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Work 6 days and do everything you need to do. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to God, your God. Don't do any work. Not you, not your son, your daughter, nor your servant, nor your maid, nor your animals, not even the foreign guests visiting in your town. For in 6 days God made heaven, earth, and sea, and everything in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Later it actually says in Exodus, those who do not keep the Sabbath should be put to death. God's pretty particular about a Sabbath. Now, in our day and age, we don't really have a day seven. When I grew up, I know it's a long time ago, nothing was open on Sunday. The odd restaurant, but you couldn't go shopping, you couldn't go out anywhere. Maybe the corner store was open, and that was about it. Because everybody in society honored the Sabbath. And then slowly, creeping in became stores staying open, people staying open, different shops, and the next thing you know, everything is now open pretty much 24/7, 365 days of the year. Every day, you'll be able to get something somewhere. And God never designed us to be that way. Never. He always designed us for having that day of rest. Shutting off technology, shutting off noise, find a way to be silent, even just for 2 hours, we will find ourselves calmer, less anxious about life. The last way is we connect through everyday life and the ordinary. I love this verse in the Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take you everyday, ordinary life, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Everything you do, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, is God's. That is how we develop a love relationship with God. Now, you're going to go into your small groups, and you're going to explore that further, and you're going to talk in more in-depth about what that looks like in your life. But I am convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that if you want to sleep better, you want to feel better about yourself, you want to have a life that 40 years from now, you look back and go, I've had a great life, you need to learn to deepen your love relationship with God, to give Him everything. Right now, that's hard for you to imagine. You just want to live life. And you're living life for the now. And it's the future that's going to affect you. And you got to start thinking further ahead. God, I don't want to be just in the now. I want to be with you in 20 years. I want to be with you in 30 years. I want to still be in love with you until the day I die. But if I'm only focused on today and tomorrow and feeling good and having that relationship with that guy or that girl or just passing all my grades. Well, guess what? You can graduate grade 12 and fail life. You can get a college degree and fail at life. You can have a wife, kids, beautiful home, and you're still dying and going to hell because you didn't take your love relationship with God seriously. You thought, maybe one day. For now, I'm just living for myself. So, when you talk today, be honest with one another. Are you living your life as if you want God to be in complete control? God, thank you for this group. Thank you for these people that took the time to come out on a rainy, stormy night. We thank you, God, that as we went back to school yesterday, that you have given us new challenges. And we're getting close to semester's end, and some of us will start using the excuse that I can't go to youth, I have to study for an exam. And God, that may be true. But for 2 hours once a week, we can give some time to you. We can still remember the things that are important. And so, God, as we get busy, as we get things going in our lives, our work schedules, our this, our that, that we would remember that a love relationship with you is our primary responsibility. And that's not to say we fail, God, and we don't do well in school, but that's to say we have to give honor and respect and adoration to you first, and everything else will follow. As they go into their small groups, God, help them to be honest, help them to talk. And we thank you, God, for all you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of new things your small group leaders are going to introduce you to. First of all, you're going to get a calendar for January, February, so make sure you don't lose that. It's also up on the website. They're going to start asking one of you every week to sit with them and to plan a testimony to share with the group. First, your small group, and then the bigger group. So that they'll walk you through it and help you plan it. Don't worry. It doesn't mean you have to be next week. It just means it's coming, right? We want to hear from you. And then there's sign-ups on the back for all the different events coming up, and they'll talk about those in the small group. And I think that's everything I had to mention. You're usually good at remembering things. No? Is that everything? Sarah, was that everything? I know. All right, find your small group leaders. They'll grab their baskets and off you go for small group.
No.
Susie's not here, but who's your other person? Rachel's here. The other Rachel's here. And Rahima? Where's Rahima? You're filling in for Susie, so you're going with these girls.